It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now we turn to Governor Tony Evers' nearly $104 billion budget plan that was turned over to the Republican-controlled legislature last Wednesday, and a budget document north of 700 pages. We get a read on the particulars from Wisconsin Public Radio's politics team, and you can join in with your questions, your comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Anya Von Wagtendonk is State Capitol Reporter, and Sean Johnson is Capitol Bureau Chief. Anya and Sean, thanks for joining us here on The Morning Show.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Well, Sean, we'll start with tax cuts and, you know, a fitting place to start because that's what the governor addressed first in his budget last week. He's proposing a $1.2 billion state income tax cut aimed at families earning under $150,000. How much would families benefit under this tax cut?
Higher costs of the tax cut in terms of how much the state is going to send out to people, it's around $850 million over the course of the budget. So this is a 10% tax cut for people who earn under $100,000 a year, married couples who earn up to $150,000 a year. It is, when you look at the governor's tax cuts, the largest piece of what he's proposing here. He also has tax cuts in there for the earned income tax credit, expanding the child and dependent care tax credit, a caregiver tax credit, enhancing the homestead tax credit. So, I think you heard the governor describe it as directing these tax cuts to the middle class. It's definitely targeted because once you get up above a certain income threshold, these tax cuts get phased out.
What would businesses get under this plan?
So the governor has some tax increases in there for businesses. He would scale back a tax credit for manufacturers that Republicans passed under the Walker administration. He would scale back a capital gains exclusion for investors, for people who, I guess, earn at the higher end of investing. And so when you look at the governor's budget as a whole, and you add up all the tax cuts, add up all the tax increases, or, you know, scale back the scaling back of tax credits, however you want to phrase it, you're looking at about a $1.5 billion tax cut and $1.5 billion tax increase. Kind of cancels out. It's just a matter of where the tax relief is going. Instead of businesses, investors, it's going to individuals who earn less than $100,000 mostly.
And a quick hot take here before we turn to Anya, what are Republicans seeking in tax cuts? Does this match up at all?
They are looking for, we don't know what the Republican legislature as a whole is going to get behind. We've heard some Republican leaders say, let's go to a flat tax instead of having a progressive income tax where people at the lower end of the income scale pay less, a lower rate than people who earn more. They've talked about having a single rate for everyone. We just don't know if that's what the entire legislature is going to get behind. We'll find that out in the next few months.
And Anya, the plan includes about $240 million in one-time funding to establish up to 12 weeks of paid family and medical leave by 2025. What can you tell us about the details of this proposal?
Would expand family and medical leave to anybody, almost anybody in Wisconsin who already qualifies for federal FMLA. As you mentioned, it would be 12 weeks. It would be seeded through that initial state funding. And then after that, it would be funded through a mix of payroll contributions from both employees and employers. Notably, it also kind of expands the definition of who would receive paid leave. So not just, you know, a new mother, a new father, but also somebody who's caring for a close family member with a health condition, a person whose spouse or child is on a deployment, people experiencing domestic violence, sexual assault, or the closure of a child care facility. So these are some expanded reasons that a person could take paid leave from work. And part of what the governor says is kind of an overall package to try and make Wisconsin a more attractive place for people to both work and raise families.
Okay, so kind of recruitment and retention there in this plan. How much support is there for establishing paid family leave?
You know, among voters nationally, it's a really popular policy across both parties. There's differences in the parties among voters in terms of thinking about who should pay for it and who should be entitled to it. But broadly speaking, paid family leave is a pretty popular policy. And last year here in Wisconsin, we saw support from GOP candidates for governor during the primary. There was pretty uniform support. Again, it differed on the details, but all of the Republican candidates for governor expressed some amount of support for paid leave. And then Tim Michaels, who eventually did run against Governor Evers, expressed that he would support it as well. There's always going to be, you know, pushback when it comes to any kind of mandate on employers. And so that's, I think, going to be a big kind of difference between how the parties approach it. And I would also note, you know, in a press conference that Republican leaders held after the budget proposal, there was not a lot of support expressed there. So I think we can probably expect some partisan differentiation in terms of support for this plan.
Yeah, Senator Devin Levin, who Majority Leader, said Wednesday it's very doubtful Republicans would support that plan. So we'll have to watch there. WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson and Capitol reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk are helping us size up the biennial state budget proposal at a time of this historic surplus. Join in with your questions, your thoughts on state spending, 800-642-1234. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As we dig into Governor Tony Evers' nearly $104 billion budget proposal released to legislative Republicans last week, it's a spending plan seeking to add hundreds of new full-time jobs to state employee roles. You can join in on the state budget, 800-642-1234. We have Sean Johnson, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief here, and Anya Van Wagtendonk, who is WPR's State Capitol Reporter. Let's bring on a call, Jeff in Superior. Jeff, hi. What is your budget priority?
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I spoke with the governor a couple of years ago when he was here at UWS. I spoke with him directly about Pattison State Park and the damage from the 2018 flood and storm. He's proposing $300 million for the Milwaukee Brewers Stadium, which only serves about 2.5 million fans. But next year, the DNR is projecting over 15 million visitors to our state parks. We need more funding for our state parks, and we've been waiting 5 years for the repairs to be done at Pattison State Park in particular. We're understaffed, and the park's being neglected. There's only one person at Amicon Falls and Pattison Park. They need more staff and more funding to make the repairs and, you know, serve the 15 million visitors that are coming to our state this year.
Jeff,
that's my opinion, and I want to publicize that.
Jeff, thank you so much. And Sean, Jeff, running the numbers there on comparing, you know, different types of recreational opportunities for Wisconsin and where the state would want to invest money. What are your thoughts?
It's really reminiscent of when the legislature and then Governor Walker took up a package to fund a new Bucks arena back in 2015. Because, you know, once you do something like that and you make a state investment in a business which is owned by wealthy people, typically, it ends up getting compared to everything else in the budget, as you just heard Jeff do there with the state park system. The state parks in Wisconsin haven't had, you know, state tax dollars going to them for several years now. They're a fee-based system, and so you know, that it's not getting a huge infusion of cash in the way that a new Brewer Stadium would. I think the governor's argument for the Brewer Stadium is that, you know, because of the economic benefit to that area, the state would make money. But yeah, we heard similar arguments over the Bucks Arena as well. And so you're probably going to hear that play out again with different people.
Well, let's turn now, Anya, to the largest portion of the biennial budget. Governor Evers seeking more than $2.6 billion in K-12 funding for the next 2 years. That amount would mark a more than 15% increase. Where would that money go?
Yeah, so, you know, Governor Evers identifies as the education governor. He is himself a former educator. And so, as you say, it's by far the largest driver of new spending in the budget. And the largest plurality of that spending, the largest chunk of it, would go towards covering special education costs. Public school districts are obligated under federal law to be covering those costs. And right now, the state covers somewhere between 25% and 30% of those costs, which places the rest of the obligation to cover that to the public school districts themselves. And so under this proposal, the state would cover closer to 60% of those costs. And then there would also be an increase in per pupil spending that the governor's office has said would be the largest ever since revenue limits were adopted in Wisconsin.
There's been the tug of war over school choice and school choice programs, and this proposed budget would freeze enrollment in the state's private school voucher program and the private school special needs scholarship. How would this affect our state's private schools?
Yeah, you know, this is also a kind of area of partisan difference. School choice is quite popular among Republicans, Republican lawmakers and voters. And so this seems like a particularly kind of unpopular proposal. Again, speaking about that press conference that Republican leaders had after the budget night. This was one of the only policies kind of called out by name by Republican leaders saying that they would oppose it. And so I can imagine that this would be another kind of significant area of pushback in Governor Evers' budget.
We have Sean Johnson and Anya Van Wagtendonk cover state politics and for WPR. Colin, about what adds up to you, what does and doesn't work in the governor's budget plan. Your questions are welcome, 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Wisconsin Public Radio's politics team. Sean Johnson is here, Anya Van Wagtendonk as well, to help us make sense of what's in the governor's two-year executive budget with your thoughts on spending priorities along the way. We want to hear your questions, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Marcus in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi. What is your budget priority?
Good morning. So my question is if we go to a flat tax, is there going to be something done? Because I live in the middle of the city of Milwaukee. I'm not even in the inner city, and the roads are atrocious. So is there going to be something that, done, or is there some sort of plan in place to help alleviate some of the iniquity between just, you know, how money's been spent in, say, a city like Waukesha versus a city like Milwaukee? And when it comes to the stadium, the tax has been in place since 1996. It's collected over $605 million because there was an extra 1% sales tax added to five counties down here. When the stadium was sold or the team was sold, Bud Selig had agreed that it would trigger that tax should have ended. And both of those have occurred multiple years ago, and that tax is still in place.
Marcus, I just want to jump in here and allow Sean to respond for a moment on flat tax, roads, and inequities first. Sean, go ahead.
I mean, I would say that the flat tax, if you're looking at what's going to happen, that is not going to happen in all likelihood while Tony Evers is governor, because the revenue loss to the state, I mean, the size of the tax cut and the revenue loss to the state is something he said that he couldn't support. And so as governor, he's going to have that power to veto that out of the budget. So I would think for the next 4 years anyway, you probably wouldn't talk about what might happen in terms of what would we be like with the flat tax. With the roads, there's stuff in the governor's budget when it comes to roads. There's some local road funding in there about $50 million a year. He has also two new sources of revenue to pay for roads. By taking what is now already paid on a state sales tax generated by the sale of electric vehicles and a sales tax on auto parts, tires, and repair services, and moving those from the state's general fund over to the transportation fund. There is stuff for roads in the budget that we'll have to see if the governor's plan survives in the legislature. I don't know how they're going to feel about those proposals.
Anya, let's turn to you as we talk infrastructure to look at broadband. The governor's proposed budget includes $750 million for broadband access by 2025. Is expanded funding for broadband a Republican priority as well?
You know, Governor Evers has made expanded broadband access kind of hallmark of his administration so far. He implemented the largest ever investment in broadband several years ago with $48 million. Obviously, $750 million is quite a lot larger than that. And the idea is something like 1.3 million Wisconsinites currently don't have broadband service. This particularly affects rural Wisconsin, although sort of inner cities are also affected as well. And particularly during the pandemic, when so many people were working or going to school remotely, lack of access to adequate internet service was really an issue for both sort of workforce reasons and education reasons. And so this is kind of part of, I think, Evers' overall proposal, again, to build out the Wisconsin workforce, is to focus on broadband access. There's certainly bipartisan support for servicing these more like rural parts of the state. Again, a number like $750 million is less popular among Republicans who just kind of, I think, balk at some of those larger state funds. There's also quite a bit of federal money made available through the bipartisan infrastructure law.
Yes.
That could reach Wisconsin. And so I think that there will probably be some push and pull about how much the state of Wisconsin is responsible versus, you know, what we're able to get from the federal government.
And Anya, you bring up push and pull. I want to turn back to you, Sean, because shared revenue, there has been a lot of push and pull there. Governor Evers advocating for sending 20% of sales tax revenue to communities as state aid. Is there Republican support for that amount of shared revenue?
I don't know what the magic number is going to be, but it sounds like if you just hear the governor talk and you hear Republican leaders talk, it sounds like this might be the year when they reach some kind of deal when it comes to shared revenue or the amount of money that the state sends to local governments. I think that 20% of future sales tax collections sounds plausible. I think there's other pieces of the governor's shared revenue plan that, you know, we'll have to see. So he wants to allow, for example, Milwaukee County to levy an additional 1% sales tax on top of the 0.5% imposed now. And Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has said, well, he wants to see some kind of reforms in Milwaukee before he'll support that. Reforms, that word is always in the eye of the beholder. So that's to be determined. Also, the governor has plans in there that would let other counties increase their local sales tax if they go to referendum. That's another one where we'll have to see what lawmakers think. But you are hearing them. I guess on most of the governor's budget, GOP leaders are quick to say, we're not going to do it. That is a kind of a stock response for them the last several years. And that's not what they're saying when it comes to shared revenue. They seem to be open to something.
Certainly local governments want more flexibility about raising local revenue. I'm going to just reintroduce you both as we talk about Governor Evers' proposed biennial budget with WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson here and State Capitol reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Sean, turning to new jobs, Republicans criticized Governor Evers after his budget address for wanting to expand government, saying his budget plan would add 800 new state employees. What can you tell us about growing the number of state employees, the workforce?
I think that that number is the one that they seized on. There's also a sizable increase as part of that of 80 new positions within the Department of Safety and Professional Services. This is an agency that licenses pretty much everything. And so there have been complaints about there being a backlog in licensing that's keeping people, you know, like social workers, for example, from being able to do their jobs because they can't get licensed quickly enough. Republicans have ordered an audit of the agency. They've, you know, expressed a lot of complaints about this particular agency, and the governor is saying, all right, here's 80 new positions. We're going to get through this. I am not sure that the legislature is going to go along with all those based on their comments and what they've said about the rest of the budget. But that's an example. When you talk about 800 new jobs, that's one area where a large chunk of them would go toward, and, you know, an area where people might actually notice a difference if staffing were to clear up some of this backlog.
Anya, another staffing issue we've been hearing so much about lately is the overworked district attorney offices. Governor Evers is urging the hiring of more DAs and public defenders and increasing pay. What do you see the governor proposing?
Yeah, so in the budget proposal, there is funding for 51 new assistant district attorneys, so that's prosecutors, and then 50 public defenders. Both would have a starting salary of $35 per hour. I believe right now the average salary is something like $27.50 or something like that. And so it would be an increase there. Obviously, that is less than, you know, trained lawyers would be making in the private sector. Many are carrying law school debt. And so it's kind of a way of trying to make this a more kind of attractive area for attorneys to go into. There would also be a reimbursement fund for private attorneys who take on public defender cases at a rate of, I think, $100 an hour. And this is all kind of in an effort to, there's a significant kind of backlog in the criminal legal system, particularly at the kind of county level, because of this staff shortage. And so this is an attempt to kind of get the gears of the court system flowing a little bit more readily.
This is the growth of jobs here in this budget, Sean. I really feel like it's something we should watch, because Assembly Speaker Voss told PBS Wisconsin back in late December that his bottom line was that he was not going to use a surplus to grow the size of government. This sounds like growing the size of government here.
Governor's budget would definitely grow the size of government. It's pretty ambitious. I think normally when you're covering a budget, or budgets that we've covered recently, you might hear a governor introduce a new proposal that has $100 or a couple $100 million worth of funding, and your ears kind of perk up because that's sizable, that's significant. And there are so many of those in the governor's budget here that, you know, you kind of lose track of them. I mean, $750 million for broadband, for example. We just kind of mentioned it in passing, but that's a huge state investment compared to recent budgets. And there's a lot of stuff in there like that. And so I think you hear Evers describe why he did this. He views this as a once in a lifetime opportunity, really, with this surplus. And so this is his vision for it, but it is very different from the one that Republicans are talking about.
And can you kind of walk us through what happens over the next 4 months or so of the budget process?
You're going to have public hearings in the budget over a few months, and then around in May, the legislature's budget committee is going to start building their own budget from scratch. And they'll probably take a vote early that month that rejects several hundred of the governor's proposals all at once if the last go round is a template. I think the outstanding question in all this is whether what they pass is something that Evers can live with at the end, and whether Republican leaders and Evers will actually sit down and negotiate on some of this stuff.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us and for your reporting.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, and Anya Van Wagtendonk is WPR's State Capitol Reporter. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.